Here.
Jared Kleinfelter.
Here.
Sean Pingleton.
Here.
Frank Preston.
Here.
Susan Martin.
Here.
Carl Fry.
Here.
Madam Chairman, we do have quorum.
Yes, we do. And again, is there anything you want to say about tonight's meeting procedures?
Yes, ma'am. This is the Taney County Planning Commission regular meeting procedures. The Taney County Planning Commission regular meeting is held for final approval on each Division 3 application presented at the previous Monday's public hearing and to hear new concept requests to be presented at next month's public hearing. Final votes will be heard first. Each project will be reviewed and decided upon by the Commission. There are no sign-up sheets at this meeting as no additional public comments are taken unless expressly requested by the Chairman or the Commission. If you do not accept the decision of this Commission, you may appeal to the Board of Adjustment. Applications for the Board of Adjustment are available in the Planning Office. Concepts will be heard following the final vote. If you are presenting a concept at this meeting, your name or the name of your project will be called. At that time, please come forward and address the Commission. Your proposal will be heard and additional documentation may be requested for the public hearing next month. No public comment will be heard at this meeting with the exception of the applicant or persons with information requested by the Commission.
Okay, thank you very much. First item on the agenda is approval of the April 12th and April 19th minutes. Assuming that you have all reviewed those.
Make a motion.
Motion to approve the minutes of April 12th and April 19th. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Moved and seconded. All those in favor of approving the minutes as submitted, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved. Let's move on to the final vote for the Bill Majors project. And I'm glad that you gentlemen are sitting fairly close because we may have some questions for clarification. Okay, let me say first of all that this is a project that is terribly complicated. I think we were all aware of the kind of issues and the concern that people have as expressed last Monday night. But it's fairly important that you understand that this is coming through as a Division 3 project, and the issue of whether or not it had received prior approval by the commission is really a separate issue rather than whether or not we choose to approve this project. So I think it's important that we separate the two issues. The question, again, of whether or not they did the right thing, whether or not the county commission did the right thing, all of those things really do not have relevance for our decision in deliberation tonight.
We are not the county commission.
And we are not the county commission.
We are the planning and zoning commission.
So, gentlemen, discussion, questions for the applicants?
I've got a question. Okay. Last week we asked about lot splits.
Yes.
And that type of thing, and I asked for, do you have anything further on that for us?
As far as the plat?
Need to go to the fire phone, please.
As far as the plat?
Or yeah, as far as what that's going to look like?
Yeah, actually, it was the, that's right there is the plat.
Both, I'm talking about all 40 acres or 38 or 43, whatever it is. I was under the understanding that you were going to split this parcel off
from
the
balance,
residential parcel.
Yes, which leaves the 32 acres in behind there.
This is actually going to be the outside boundary line. Is that correct?
Yes.
And that's approximately 8 acres?
No, that there is, when Doug did it, I believe it's right, just a fuzz over 3 acres.
Okay. It says, if you can read it, I can't.
3.40 acres.
Okay.
Okay. And you have done the split, or it's in process, or?
No, who's it? HDR Archer, right? HDR Archer has done it as far as a paper split. And I guess at this point here, part of our design, if you will, would be your approval on making it an official split with the approval of this project.
Okay.
And I'm assuming that's how it works, if I understood everything correctly.
Yeah, so he'd be asking you to go ahead and grant the approval to split to this side and everything.
Okay, so as part of what comes to us often with lot splits,
right.
That's part of what this
He's
is.
He's not part of a platted subdivision or anything like that, so this one
right.
Had to do that. But while you're hearing
right, but one of the concerns that I had, which was a valid concern for the other folks that were around, was that if we just gave you a blanket commercial, although anytime you have to do anything commercial, you have to come back and see us, but
sure.
That's not what I was hearing you say. I was hearing you say that you were looking to do commercial for the top part only
right
and residential, so I would prefer to see them split off one small lot, the three whatever acres,
yes.
and then the other stays residential.
And that's how, as far as the way Doug at HDR Archer, he has that, the description's already done. I guess at this point, once the final approval is given, or I'm not sure exactly how that works, but whatever process takes place, then I guess it'll be recorded at that point.
Okay.
There were some other issues, and I appreciate the topo map, so we can check out.
If we could, if you don't mind, you asked us for several things, and we kind of, we've got a slideshow here that's kind of in order of the way we did things, and we also have a video for you to see, because we were fortunate enough to have a lot of rain this week, and we were able to actually see some things. First of all, you did ask us for the minutes from the where the commission approved the emergency waiver, and I believe you've each got that, let's say official minutes and everything, and the letter that I wrote you, I did tell you that that was posted on the commissioner's agenda as a public hearing. That was a public meeting, and anybody who would have wanted to walk in there would have been able to walk in there, and of course that's posted here in the county and on the website at the time, so that is there. You asked us also for a topo map and some other things like that. But we've got all that. I'd like to walk through this because there's some, if you don't mind, there's some issues raised as far as compatibility. It just so happens that last Wednesday, I've been working with a current land use map with the IS department, and Patsy finished that up, and we were able to bring this up, showing Dan, if you'd go on to the currently in Taney County. Red represents commercial, green agriculture, and the light yellow residential and everything like that. And as you can see around this area here, there is commercial. And then if you'll click out, we went ahead and put a radius map on there so you can see how close things are concerning that. So what you see on this is if the parcel had any commercial on the parcel at all, the whole parcel is colored red. That's just the way we started out with this map and everything like that. This is a tool we hope to use in the future for all the projects to come through, so you'll be able to see, compatibility in the area. There was an issue a little bit about road safety. You'd ask us to show you what we could as far as site distance. This would be standing in the middle of the road there, and looking both directions there, and this is what you can see and how far. However, we normally do when it's a state highway. We normally put in our decision of record, we would like a compliance letter from MoDOT, because MoDOT sets the driveway size, width, entrance. I believe they require some concrete curbing so far, like three feet into the project, something like that.
And Eddie, that's really their call. That's MoDOT's call, whether or not there's an entrance allowed, not planning and zoning's call. That's why we ask for those letters, right?
That's normally we defer to MoDOT on that. I'll remind you real quick about the zipline project that we did out on Highway 65. We had the concerns of should there be a deceleration turn lane off of that and something like that, and we deferred that to MoDOT. And at one time, MoDOT said, no, we don't want it. They came back and said, yeah, we better have it. And then they said, nope, we're not going to do it. So currently, MoDOT has decided that there, no turn lane. We requested a compliance letter from MoDOT, and they supplied that letter. So we let them go without the turn line. That was MoDOT's decision on Highway 65. But that, as a general rule, yes, sir, when it's a state road, we defer to the state. And since I've been here in 4 years, we've not tried to impose anything greater than what the state would require in that situation.
In these pictures, where are you standing in relationship to the property?
Right in front of it.
Okay, so on the going west, the property is that piece of property that's green on the right-hand side?
Hang on just a second. Go ahead, Dan.
Okay, we're about the max distance where you can actually see down the highway.
Okay.
The property is just to the west, the little white house on the top.
Right here. So the property's here.
Okay. So that white house is the one they were referring to at last week's meeting, correct?
Yeah. This is just kind of showing you what kind of view if you came around the curve and you're looking down the road.
Okay.
And the actual property is about the middle of it.
And this one, Dan? Is that the same place?
It's on the opposite side. You're looking, you're going east there.
Okay.
So it's about halfway down there.
You asked for a topo map so you can kind of get a direction of where the water was going to flow. This is the topo map with the elevations in. The map that I've given you shows that also, but in this situation, this property does drain toward a draw in the middle of the property. I'm going to show you here in a minute. It kind of sets in almost a bowl, and we're going to have some actual footage of when it was raining and what you can see in the way of runoff and everything like that. But the high spot, you know, kind of right here and right there on the road, and then as you see, it kind of falls away. It gets higher up on this side and higher up over here, but it does come like a little valley here, and that's kind of where the water runs down. So the property's right in this area right here, and everything, and this is where you'll see the water running down there just a little bit. This is a 3D, and this would be from Google and everything. This would be an aerial view, I'm guessing. Correct, Ben?
Yeah, it's still three-dimensional.
Yeah, and this is kind of looking out a little bit more. I don't know how clear it is where you're at. It's really, I'm a little close or something. It looks a little blurry to me. But you can see how the property runs down this way here and down this way here. And actually what we see now is that this property drains out through here.
Okay. And the south side drains through this area here.
Right. Okay, go on. This is some side pictures that I took before the rain started coming. This is actually, I believe, Mr. Puckett's house. So I wanted you to see that, and this is where the very last building would be when you're facing the property, the building to the right, and everything like that. But again, this kind of here illustrates how this property all runs downhill here. Mr. Puckett lives on Highway H, and, you know, some concern about stormwater runoff to their property and everything like that. This is the back side of the property there where, if I remember correctly,
northwest.
Yeah, where the water's going to run off down that way. Where the next one, please, sir? Again, your topo map. I took the topo map over to Randy and asked him to evaluate the property. He looked at the map and he said, Ed, I don't think.
Who's Randy?
Randy Hayes is with Roden Bridge.
Sorry.
He does shoots their grades, does kind of a supervisory position with Roden Bridge, and just kind of make sure everything as far as drainage and stormwater management on their sites when they're making roads and everything, that everything's going to drain correctly. He wrote this note to me, left it with me, basically says, I don't see any evidence that silt from any excavation is or has crossed through the drainage culvert across the highway. The landowners on the south side of 160 has blocked and raised the ground level to where water cannot get away from the cross pipe. This should be a MoDOT issue and everything. So go ahead and go to the next one. This is, again, when you're standing in the property looking across the street toward Mr. McCaig's house, you can see how the property comes down this way. This is the ditch here. This is the culvert that goes across the street. At this particular time, we were out there looking to see if there was any evidence of any kind of sediment from previous rains and everything. Didn't see anything there. Next to them. This is, again, the same culvert and everything like that. It goes across this way. Go ahead, Andy.
Can you go back, Eddie? I know you're dealing with the issue of runoff and silt and all of that kind of thing, but go back, if you would, to that previous picture, because concern about setback with that driveway, that doesn't look like a very wide piece of land right there.
This, of course, is going to probably be part of the road easement here. We might
right, okay.
And everything. But our code book requires 50 feet from the road easement to the building. To the building. Now, parking lots and everything do not have to, you know, they can go up to the property line. But I believe, if I'm not mistaken, everything needs or exceeds 50 foot. Of course, they're just in construction right now.
And that's going to be hard surface, I would assume.
No, ma'am. It's going to be gravel, if I'm not mistaken, is what they're intending to do. So it will be basically impervious cover, not impervious cover, so it will allow some things to soak through.
Okay.
Go ahead, Dan. Let's go forward a couple. This is the culvert on the other side of the street. Want you to notice, this is a picture taken by Google several years ago, and the area that Randy was talking about is here. The water used to come under the culvert, drain off this way and down through here. This area here has been built up, and that's to what Randy was referring. Mm-hmm. It doesn't let the water drain out of there. I believe this is how it's been built up right here. You can see the difference there. So let's keep on.
So it dams the water up that runs across?
Yeah,
there?
Yeah. It creates quite a retention pond there. I don't know how the water bleeds out or anything. I don't know what effect it has on the culvert coming underneath. I don't know if it can build up high enough to prevent drainage coming out from under the culvert. I don't know. But as Randy stated, that should be a MoDOT issue. Let's see. Yeah, that's the same area here that's been built up there. And let's go over
the dam behind the creek.
Yeah. And, okay. So click on through those dams. I don't think there's anything else, but I don't see that. Take me to the video real quick. Benita wasn't with me when I videoed.
Oh, no.
Free and destructive, Sean.
Yeah.
So, but as you can see, there was water in the ditches and standing and everything. Of course, this is on site of the property there coming down through. However, I do want you to watch the color of the water and things like that. This is the middle of the property where we're going to tell you that the property kind of bowls down and drains in this direction to the back here. And at the end of this, we're going to take you back to where this water comes out, so you can see. But this water, this property drains this direction and off to the back there.
What day was that? Sometime this week, obviously.
Saturday, I believe they probably had a little more rain. We was by there on Saturday and remarked about the water standing and everything like that.
Yeah, I also went by Saturday and looked at it.
But I want you to notice, too, as we pull up here, we're going to end here. I want you to notice that the water from up here where I told you that fourth building was, you'd be able to see that it is running down this direction to this middle here and then back out of that. Kind of pull up here, let's look at the ditch again. Notice that the color of the water is basically, you know, muddy. It's not red by any means. You know, it's not silt laden or anything like that going through here. And this was done about 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We're going to go over here, and you can see how the water's beginning to puddle up there. That's where the color comes out. When you take a good look at the water, and you can see how back in here, well, that's the color coming out. And then when you get over here, just stop for a second. Right here is the area we were showing to you that has been dammed up because the water used to run down this way. And then we're going to take you down the H Highway because there were some concerns there. First, we're going to look at this ditch again. And this is the other side of the ditch. This is H Highway and the water that's running down through there. I drove quite a ways down here and I didn't see any crossover. This is in front of Mr. Puckett's house. I didn't see any crossover from one side of H Highway to the other. I'm surely, you know, somewhere down the line there probably is, but I didn't see it. This is the coming off the back of the property up there that Mr. Davis is on. And this is the water coming through. You can see it's clear, but it makes that natural trail that we like it's always made right into the storm culvert, like it's supposed to make. And this is down at the substation, the electrical substation that's down there on H Highway. You see them? That's my hand.
Okay, anything?
So, just wanted to try to answer all the questions that we can answer. Okay. And if you have any more, we'll be glad to tell you what we know.
Okay.
One other thing I do want you to be aware of is that we did send Mike Cole down to meet with Ms. Kustra. She was the lady that has the shared well. And Mike went down to talk with her and about how wells are constructed and how water gets into those and the different aquifers and took two different samples down there and tested the water and said the water's in very good shape. So you can see the contaminants in it. So I believe that's the questions we were asking.
Okay.
Here we
go. Okay.
Gentlemen and lady, further discussion?
Questions? Clarification?
The deal on our compliance with provisions of Taney County Development Guidance Code, Eddie, just want to make sure I'm right on this. Sediment and erosion control and stormwater management, if I'm not mistaken. Whenever a project is finished, whether it's this project or any project that we do, the stormwater management and the sediment and erosion control has to be doesn't have to be better than when it started, but it can't be worse, right? It has to be just as good or better when they're done.
Makes it clear that it is the responsibility of the developer if they have increased the flow, the concentration of the water, speed of the water, anything like that, leaving the property after the development's finished. It's their their responsibility to mitigate any problems that might have downstream. So in the event that this began to funnel water into a place where it has ran before at a different speed than it had ran before, a different quantity than it's ran before, and begin to cause issues downstream, they would be responsible for some sort of stormwater retention to lead that off.
That's what I thought, but I want to make sure that was right.
Okay. Questions for the developer, Mr. Majors. We always ask about hours of operation. I noticed that the third building is going up, and you may want to come forward. And then always the question of the number of vehicles parked on that that are operable, movable.
Road ready
vehicles. So can you answer some of those questions, especially hours of operation, and what the fourth building is likely to be?
Where should I start? The hours of operation should be your normal business hours. They're all service industry based, basically. So they're going to be more than likely somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 to 6 in that time frame. Which is
Monday through?
The tire shop should be Monday through Friday on that. Saturday we're looking at potentially either, it may be a full day, maybe just a half a day, just because that's when, your average working American, that's when they need to go. They don't want to take off work to get the cars fixed. So more than likely it would be half a day or a full day on Saturday for that. Of course, the used car lot Saturday. It'll be a normal till probably 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. The bike shop, more than likely the 8 to 6 deal. And that what I would say, your typical bike shops, Monday through Saturday type deal also. Sunday would be typically closed. We've got to have a day off at some point.
The third building.
The fourth building?
Well, what is the third building?
The third building
is going up today.
That's the motorcycle shop.
Okay. The one is the tire shop, the other one is the repair.
Yes, the first building, if you look at the first building, that is would be the used car detailing building. The second building, which faces the highway, that is the tire shop. The third building that is under construction presently, that we just started erecting today, that would be the motorcycle shop. And the fourth building, right now we anticipate with the lack of parts and service available in this area for ATV, UTV, repair, stuff like that, that probably will become part of the motorcycle shop and just make it just a bigger facility. To where we can handle not only the street bike side of it, but the off-road side of it as well. Because there's tons of four-wheelers and somebody needs, they need to get repaired and parts and things like that.
Okay. And number of cars. I think we've kind of touched on that. At one point we talked about 20.
On the used car side.
Last week when we talked, we said that there'd be a maximum of 20 that were for sale.
Yes.
And there should be a maximum of 15. That would be the maximum of used vehicles out there that would be, that were getting worked on.
Right. Yeah, and usually, in a tire store, the idea is to get you in and get you out.
Right.
And the only other question that I would have is a question of lighting. How are you going to light?
Exterior lighting? I want something that's going to be non-intrusive. I'm not into drowning out the stars. It's probably going to be very minimal, just enough to secure the facilities. And that's probably about it, really, to be honest with you. I don't like a lot of exterior lighting in that nature. I can't rule it out, but I don't think I'll put any parking lot lights. More than likely what it's going to be is just some sort of an exterior light on the building in a couple areas, and not a floodlight style, but just one of those mercury vapor style That kind of lights up the area.
Okay. Any other questions?
You asked them all.
You did good.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Majors.
Not a PM.
Oh, okay. But
I have a question, but not...
But come up then, because you're the building foreman, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And you had clarification on...
When we were looking at the pictures, you saw a picture of a driveway. You had a question about the setbacks. Mm-hmm. The actual, this area right here will all be green space. If you look at the floor, all the way down to the road, this main road where Eddie is standing when he takes the picture is the entrance drive. And then the road actually goes behind the other buildings to access the third and fourth building. So this area here will all be green space.
I was concerned with the utility companies and their relationship. So you're
yes,
saying
ma'am.
That's not an issue.
Yes, ma'am. And on the site plan.
And you know that.
This is where he was standing, taking the picture facing this direction. And this area will all be green space until you hit the parking lot, which is about where that wall comes in. And likewise in this area here, so that we don't have any issues there.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.
Somebody else had a question, Jim?
No, I got one. We can back up to it on the classification, the coloring, the aegis, I guess, that we were looking at.
Yes, sir.
Can you back up that, Dan? That one? Right there, and if you can bring it in a little tighter, just a little.
That's best.
Okay, that's good. Are we looking at what has been approved or and grandfather clause, or is there?
This is current use.
This is current use.
This is how the assessor has it on his books at this present time.
On the books at the present time. Yes. Even though there may be other businesses operating there, that's not
that
what's
correct.
On the books.
There are a couple businesses that are operating in this area that we're not really aware of. I mean, we've become aware of them, but they are on the books as residential at this time, so they are not sure of.
Okay.
But this is what we had passing the IS department do for us. If the assessment line had anything in the commercial area, we colored that parcel red. Even though it may have commercial, it may have residential, it may have agricultural on it. We figured the most intense use on the land would be commercial, and these parcels will be updated and sized a little more correctly, but at this juncture, all we did was if there was commercial on that property, paint that parcel red. So that's kind of what you see there.
And they're still close, but I just want to comment on that, being that we're looking at it. I don't think you've got that in the right spot, the center. Just so you know,
right.
It's actually
the
farther to the
actually
west.
Be probably down about right here.
Yeah.
Same thing. And as you can see, just about anywhere you want to go, it's there. So.
Okay.
So, just to clarify, show me where the center should be again.
About right in here. I believe it comes across, if I'm not mistaken, right in this area.
Because that property just next to it would be that church property.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm on track.
Okay. Chair would entertain a motion.
Can I make a comment before I make
mm-hmm.
a motion?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's you've already kind of commented on it, but I want to comment on it too. That I don't like the way that this all went down. It's not normal. It's not normally the way we. Listen to things, and I can certainly understand why people are not happy about that. I disagree a little bit with what was said last week by, I don't remember his name, but I know he was a lawyer that was out here, that he said because of the way it went down, we must vote no. I do think because of the way it down, they're taking a big risk that we may vote no. You know, because we don't have to vote yes. That's my opinion on that. It's just a matter of the area we were put in, but we're here to look at this to see if it's compatible and see if it works in the area like we do every other project. It just so happens that we were kind of hands were tied with how this was going, and I don't like that, like the way it was done. you know, I hope it's never done again. But, you know, it's where we are, and we need to look at the project for what it is and make our decision like we normally do.
I'm not going to allow any public comment. The time for that was, again, last Monday. So let's go on with the deliberation among the commissioners then. And did I hear you say that you were going to make a motion?
I will. I just wanted to say that first because, the difference here is that they took a big risk. If, you know, depending on how the vote goes.
What about the screening on the upper end on the west end up next to that house?
I was going
to
talk about that.
Right.
Okay. With everything we've heard, and thanks, Eddie, for putting all that together. I know we had a bunch of questions on this when they were all good questions that we needed answered that the folks brought up last week. So I appreciate you guys going back out there and doing that. After seeing all that, I want to make a motion, and it's a long one. I apologize. I know they usually are. Make a motion to approve based on the decision record with the following additions. Tell me when you're ready.
I'm ready.
First of all, buffering. 6-foot privacy fence along the east border of the commercial lot. So that's going to be a long fence if you have one lot. That'll be all the way down H Highway, which you told me you're not going to have one lot. We're going to talk about that in a minute, but right now just the commercial lot. Hours of operation, 8 to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday.
Monday through
Saturday.
Okay.
Something for MoDOT approval with their entrance. I know normally you ask for that, but I'd like to have that in the decision record. A lot splitting the two lots between the lot up front with the other, as we talked about. That I think that should be required that they do that. That protects those folks back on the other side of you doing commercial stuff over there, which you shouldn't be able to do without us knowing about it anyway.
Can you tweak that a little and add that is 3.4 acres, not to include more than the 3.4?
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that. Not to include more than 3.4 acres for the commercial side.
3.40, okay.
The amount of cars limited on the car lot, I think 20 are too many, so I'm going to say 15. I counted those lots, and there's not enough there for that. Road-ready cars, not a junkyard. Okay, that's a valid concern by folks that live there. And with a concern for light trespass. That's it as far as the motion. Oh, no, I want to add one more thing. Any future commercial development, like the fourth building, will have to come back to us for approval, since we don't know what it's going to be today.
Even if it continues the motorcycle, would that need it, or would it be just part of the kind of thing coming?
Just bring it back.
Okay. I'll second that.
Okay.
Discussion.
Okay, discussion of the motion.
When he gets ready to bring this fourth building back, do you want to have it presented to you under old new business? To see if you want it?
No, I think we'll see it.
We'll see it.
So you want to
Since we don't know what it's going to be, he doesn't know what it's going to be yet.
You want to go through the division pre-process again?
Yeah.
Now, are you planning on building that in the near
future? Building?
Yeah.
Well, they can build it. They can build the building.
Okay,
we approve
it. So it can just go, it's going up.
Just for use that you're
It's the use that I'm questioning. Okay. Not the building, the use.
That's why I was wondering if
I'm not questioning the building on my motion. I'm questioning the use that,
okay.
You know, we want to make sure it's compatible with everything else.
Okay.
Because I do think it's compatible with the area.
Okay.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Yes. Uh-huh.
There was some discussion earlier about you buying the little White House. They buy that house, do you still need that buffering there?
Right now, they don't own the house. I want the buffering there.
Okay.
And there's no landscape buffering, so it's going to have to be a 6-foot privacy fence.
Bonita, would it be possible for you to read this complex motion?
I think so. Okay. Motion was to approve based upon the decision of record with the addition of buffering in the form of a 6-foot privacy fence along the east border of the lot along H Highway.
No, sorry. Commercial lot.
Commercial lot?
Yeah, I just made a comment to Mr. Majors that if that didn't get split, that was going to be a long fence.
Okay. Commercial lot along H Highway. Hours of operation, 8 to 6 p.m., Monday through Saturday. A letter from MoDOT regarding the entrance. Lot split between the lot in front and back, and the back, not to include more than 3.4 acres. Amount of cars should be 15 on the car lot, which are road ready. Light trespass. Any future commercial development receives approval from the Planning Commission.
That's close.
For the fourth building. Can we say, can we add after 3.4 acres as presented? Because you could
right.
take that 3.4.
Yeah, 3.4 acres as presented for the commercial lot. I don't want to give them 30 acres of.
And that H Highway you need to change to 160?
Yes. Just say commercial lot.
Okay.
Because that'll take care of that. The east side of the commercial lot.
Okay, do we understand the motion and all of its additions? Okay, call the question. All those in favor of the motion as presented, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
Abstain.
And one abstention.
Two abstentions.
Mr. Bronner and Mr.
No.
I'm sorry, who?
Me.
Oh, Suzanne.
Susan.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. Your proposal has been approved. Okay. Let's move on to the next item on the agenda then. Concepts. Cabins at Branson Creek.
I believe Dave Wolf is probably representing these issues, if I'm not mistaken. Has several issues on our agenda tonight he's going to represent. I do not
is see. Is he thinking 7 o'clock?
He was told 6, I know, several times.
Well, he hasn't been here in so long.
I agree. He hasn't.
Habit is difficult to break.
That's his fault.
He promised to be
here.
Okay. Well, let's set this aside for a moment and move on to the Environmental Learning Campus.
And I believe Mr. Wolf is representing that one also.
Then
however, while we're there, if you don't mind real quick, I'll tell you.
Okay.
That, you're familiar with the Marine Environmental, the Tiger Sanctuary that came through a while back.
What that looked like that.
They left us, went to look again, made a deal with the city of Rockaway Beach on some land that was in Taney County, had the okay to have that land immediately annexed as soon as the deal was through, and their project approved to go down there, and then I don't know exactly what happened, but then they went to Stone County because we got a call from Joy in Stone County, and they were going through the process down there, and now they're back here. So what they're looking at buying is the property. I believe it's off of Reno Springs Road. A couple of years ago, maybe 3 years ago, I mentioned to you that Mr. Redford was developing a hunting ranch out where he was going to tall fence this whole place in and put take all the animals out and put what they wanted and everything like that. This is the property, and I believe it's several hundred acres, but they're only going to use a part of this for that tiger sanctuary. Dan's done a little checking. I think he says the closest house to this is a mile away, if I'm not mistaken, at this time.
We'll be to a better
location and everything.
And
perhaps Mr. Wolf will be here in a little bit. But anyway, that's kind of what's going on there. I don't know. Yeah, this is kind of, they wanted to build several little areas there. And,
so go back to your map that has the road access. Off of 65.
This is up in there.
Bear Creek. Okay.
Kind of by the zip lines. Where you turn off the Highway 65.
It's a long way back there, guys.
It's across from Bonnybrook.
Actually, Bonnybrook's on this side of the highway.
Well, the highway, yeah.
Right. Yes,
yeah.
This goes way back.
This is on the west side.
That road up here.
You got to know where you're going when you head back that way. And everything because
it's
all
day. What is it, Road?
That Bay Road is in up in here, but Reno Springs, I believe this is,
Fox,
is that Edison? Or
it's Fox.
Fox, Fox Road.
Edison comes
and,
in.
And sometimes you'll see this where you can drive across through here. I've not been able to do it. Whenever we, back up in here is where we went to Chaffee's Acres, if you'll remember.
Just got to have to run
to Shawn County and come back through.
Been through there.
The old 160.
So why are there roads in there?
Well, there are some roads in there.
Yeah, there is.
I mean, you can drive to this property, and it's a blacktop road.
Yeah.
It's pretty
it's plowed by the county.
You can also come
off. I don't
off,
know about
you can
that.
Also I think that's HH, isn't it, Carl, that you can come off of?
Well, Bear Creek turns into HH.
Yeah.
If the...
But I mean, if you come in the other way, it's HH.
Yeah,
no, the old 160 past Banks.
Needs it or not.
You go to the old 160 through Reed Spring.
You would bring that one up.
Yeah, you have to go by the old Banks and then go up there to Reno Springs Road and then you'll come back in on Edison. And you'll almost club up there.
Gentlemen's
club. Yeah. Before they built the new road.
Maybe.
Okay, but we're not dealing with this yet. So, what about the Branson Airport cell tower?
You know, they talked to you last week somewhat. I don't know why they're not here either.
They normally use Eddie as well.
Yes. and so, but they were here last week and did talk to you for a while. So, you know, I don't know if you're familiar enough with what they showed you last week to use that as a concept. But I don't see them here tonight, so I cannot speak to that.
I would say, what did we decide?
You decided we're going to hear it.
We're going to hear it.
Yeah.
Our new motto is, if you want to do it, we're going to hear it.
Do we have any permit requests or anything at the end that we can take up that will take full
yes,
seven?
Yes,
we
do.
We do.
We do.
Okay. And then there's one concept that you do not have in your packet. And I think Mr. Fordyce is here. Mr. Fordyce is at Frank Reed Disposal. Am I correct? And he has a place out on Highway 160. If you remember, he also has a place up on Catfish, if I'm not mistaken, where he has his trucks up there and everything. He's wanting to move his whole location down onto Highway 160.
Okay, but we don't have any.
Don't put it in your packet, but he did get his application in a timely
okay.
manner to do that.
Okay, so let's have him come forward
come
then.
On down.
Okay. And please identify yourself and tell us what the project is and where the project is.
Okay, I'm Richard Fordyce. I own Raintree Disposal, and we're talking out on Highway 160 out by Kazee Mills. And I made some copies. I didn't realize there was this many people here.
We're
okay.
always
we'll
here.
Them around.
There are nine of us. Okay.
That'll work. We can share.
I'm good. I'm sharing.
Sure.
With Suzanne.
It's Suzanne.
Susan. I know. I said that on purpose because you aren't
scrubbed.
I was telling
you, I'm pretty sharp because we dealt several times
with Susie.
Weird. F's disposal. Basically, Mr. Fordyce kind of went over the same thing. He's building a garage out there to store his equipment in and some of his... he has dumpsters, he has the individual containers that go to the home sites, and he right now has three trucks, but he may want to expand in the future, so.
Yes. So we're trying to build a 50 by 72 foot building, three bay shop to be able to store our trucks in at night, you know, so and on the weekends. This project is buffered by some woods behind us, the closest. We're 100 feet. I got to looking at our drawing, and we're 100 feet to our property line, and there's still woods in between us and the next residence, which is a rental house from Alan Killingsworth.
It looks like there's property, however, kind of in the middle of the pie-shaped piece.
Well, I think it's something with the mapping because it didn't. There's nothing there. I mean, our property line is...
Look on that one up there. That's what we're looking at.
Okay, yeah.
We have
yes,
a
sir.
Corner on the podium, sir.
Oh, yeah.
Where's this at on 160, by the way?
Highway will be right down in here. This is the old Stashley building near the post office.
In the stores.
On the left,
right
just before
there.
You get to up, and in the store.
Joined up C-Mill store.
C-Mill store, where the old post office used to be, is in that.
Oh, okay.
Corner, right there. We're looking at the putting the building up in here, though. It's not as much I don't know where all the trees come from, but this is all big pasture right here that we've had. But we're looking at putting the building in right in here, and I've had a MoDOT come out, and they okayed a permit for a driveway, a 60-foot driveway right there. That's what they're requiring with the commercial, is 60-foot. It's a, be a 20-foot wide, but you have to have the 60-foot culvert down to a 20-foot width.
Comment? Just, you know, we're just in the, I know what where we are with it, but if this would were to proceed, I'd caution in regards to natural buffer on that other side to leave enough over there before you do. We know there's, what is it, land disturbance permits that can be issued but and not do anything with it, but if you take that down, then you don't have that buffer. So I'm just, that's just a comment. More than it is anything else.
The northern tree timber you're talking about? Yeah. Whatever's left there?
Yeah.
Just, I mean, it sounds like there's less there than what it shows.
You know,
some money, for sure.
Some money and headache.
Well, there, right back in here, in this corner right here, is a culvert that comes from the highway. So basically about the property line right back in through here, it goes right down like that, is a water drainage. So this area right in through here is not going to be disturbed woods-wise. Because of the slope of the ground of our building, we've looked with the concrete people, and getting that close, even moving it any further back is out of the question, because you're looking at the slope of the ground will be in the 20-foot range. Right now we're at the 10-foot range.
There's a house right there on the north end, north side of that, that's probably going to require a buffer along that north side.
Yeah, generally
my
speaking,
my building is going to be here. It's 100 foot between my building and my property line of
well,
trees.
But that's generally when we look at
for
commercial butts up against residential, we require some type of buffering, either a fence,
right,
like we talked about with them earlier, or some type of landscape buffering, which would be timber of 30 to 40 feet minimum.
So if he's got the 100 feet, they're just saying don't knock on all those trees and leave them open.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, in back behind us, like I was saying, that ground slope slopes off so much that we're not going to be going back in there. No. Now, I've had this property for a while, and we have a pond that we've implemented right back in here. It was an old dump site that we had to have cleaned out, and we hauled off all the trash.
You anybody that could dispose of that stuff?
Yeah, I found it. And I've built a house. There's an old house right here we tore down, and we built the house in the exact same spot.
So
I will be living on site from our premises. The building will run this direction, 70 feet.
Is that a commercial operation now, Eddie?
No, sir, not. Just take your time. It's not. He does have some stuff sitting out there and everything, but when he applies to build a garage, that's when we where it needs to be changed. That's why he's here.
So he's going to keep that as one parcel? Because it sounds like he's got a residence out there.
Yes, he has no intention of splitting that. He's going to put the business there. He's going to move the business off of Catfish down to here, so he's going to consolidate all into one lot, into one area, too.
Will that make, I mean, that, I guess you're aware that might make a difference on his, I don't know how
right,
that would
right
be
now
his home.
Right, now there's a little over 5 acres there and everything, and that's what he's presenting to you, that he's going to use his 5 acres for that and his home. So we can discuss that a little bit more as we get into public hearing and everything like that. But what he's saying is that
difference on taxes.
He's probably not going to want you to split that or anything like that. So that you're going to be committing the whole 5 acres to this project.
Okay, so is it the will of the commission again that Mr. Fordyce should go forth through the process then, that the concept is fine and adequate with the information that we've received? And okay. The counsel and advice that you've received. Okay, let's go back to cabins at Ransom Creek. Mr. Eddie Wolf is here. We just wanted you to know that we've been meeting at 6 o'clock now.
I didn't know that.
For the last 5 months.
Oh, no.
Not that long. You have two staffers who've been telling you 6.
I went to the pre-app meeting. They didn't even tell me then.
They forget.
You don't read every letter you get?
No, we don't.
They're professional. Right. There.
Check the letter there, Eddie.
Anyhow, I've made it by 7.
The good thing is you're a little
We're not going to tell you you're 8 minutes left early.
Okay. Better than 8 minutes late.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
approved. That's mine.
Yeah. Okay, this is a new proposed project out of Branson Creek, and I believe on the application, Eddie, and we count 276 cabins. And we're going to eliminate one of those on the drawing that was just given to you. There's only 275 because they're wanting to add a, it's like a general store on the top floor, and they're wanting to use it as offices on the bottom floor at the south intersection of this project. And they may put gas pumps in eventually, but right now they plan on developing this enough to support a general store and the airport being there too, that they want to go ahead and construct that. This in Branson Creek sets, when you go down the new airport road, there's a bridge, the first big bridge on the new road. It would set on the south side of that bridge in that wooded hillside. And that's where they're wanting to set it. This is completely in the woods, and that's kind of a scarce commodity on that property out there because the old property had been farmed and all the ridges were cleared. And this project here, they're wanting to put in that wooded area to where they want to keep the construction to a very minimum. They're going to hand clear where the cabins are going to go. They're wanting to set them in there where they're basically on stilts, build them that way, like a lot of them's been built there, like Green Cabins at Grand Mountain and everything there, Branson. That's where they go in at four piers and they set the building on it. These will be hand dug and everything, so because they want to keep all of the forest part of it there they can, so these will be rustic in the setting in here. And then we met with Frank and talked to Frank about the roads in here to try to keep those as rustic as possible, because due to the new road standards and everything, it would greatly depend on what we is flexible to do in there. And with Frank there, we talked to him about if these could actually be left gravel, if they would be chip and sealed or what. And he was very favorable in discussing that with us and everything there, and didn't see a problem because this property stays totally in the condo association. That's what it would do. It wouldn't meet road standards for a simple fact. It'd be road owned by the association, maintained by the association, to where they'd never be petitioned to the county to take. And this has been done in other places like Big Cedar and everything like that, because they don't want to go in there and just rape and pillage the property with roads and everything. You know, we want to make them to where there are two-lane traffic, got parking on the sides, and we've got circulation out there in two different directions to where this can be put in there in a rustic manner and leave all the forest area we can. And we provided ponds. There'll be actually ponds at whole water with freeboard in them to take care of all the detention. And also, right below this in the drainage way, there's already an existing pond there that is a pretty good-sized pond. It's probably an acre, acre and a half, that has got freeboard in it that we can use the detention also. Then on the north side of the property up here, we're wanting to put a stable in right there. And what this is for, they're wanting to kind of make it like an equestrian-type cabin development where they can ride horses, because Branson Creek has got miles and miles of trails through those old logging roads that cover the property. So they want to go in and put the stable in, and then presently up that ravine, there's 10 to 20 acres somewhere in that neighborhood of grassy area that they can pasture the horses in and have it as an amenity for these people in there with the cabins. And that's about what the project will consist of. This is Corky McMillan Company come in and bought a 50% ownership in the Patch Development. And
out of California, does a lot of adult, active living type communities.
There, if you want to look at them, just type in Corky McMillan Real Estate. It'll do a, right now online, there's a big article about them taking 50% owner of Branson Creek.
The whole development?
Uh-huh. They had the closing last week.
And his name is Corky?
Corky McMillan. And McMillan's
O-R-K-Y?
Uh-huh. It's M-C, is the way McMillan's spelled. M-C-M-I-L-L-I-N.
I-N?
I-N.
No, A-N.
Is that together with oak tree somehow?
Or do you want out?
Oak tree?
I don't know what you mean by oak tree.
There's plenty of oak trees out there.
Use some of these for...
Lots of cedars.
These here, they want the option, if this is approved, they're going to sell these as whole ownerships. And they want the option, they can do overnight rentals in there if they need to. They don't haven't made their mind up if they want to or not, but they've got their own rental program there. They wouldn't be allowed to go to another rental company somewhere else. It all stay right there at Branson Creek. And that's the way they've done some of the other units in the development. But we plan on bringing you more projects pretty quick out here because they're going to be very aggressive. And their five-year plan is to have 1,100 units out of the ground. So
this 276 is like phase one.
Uh-huh.
In 5 years, it would blossom into about 1,200.
You said 1,100?
1,100 in 5 years.
5 years, okay.
But those are potential timeshare, overnight rental.
Not necessarily. It could be a mixture of all different things.
The property that John Q. Hammonds was looking at for the big hotel resort,
uh-huh,
kind of thing, is that still a possibility at
no.
some point after?
John Q. Promised them that he would build, this is what I was told, and it's just hearsay, but it was from the people at Branson Creek, that he'd give them a date to start a motel out there, and he reneged on it, and they told him, go away. So
Glenn Patch has had a major infusion,
uh-huh,
of help,
mm-hmm,
in Branson Creek.
And it's my understanding there's no banks involved in this at all.
I read in a San Diego paper this past weekend that it was $1 billion investment.
Everything is cash.
McMillan's pretty big, and their financial group, I think, is Oak Tree, and they're pretty much a global financial. There's probably going to be an article in Springfield, a Business Journal here within the next month on this.
Now, also on this, we've got to run a sewer trunk line from Branson Creek to the city of Hollister, and it's got to carry 1.5 million gallons. And that's got to be done shortly out there, too, because we're running out of capacity in the existing plant. And the reason I'm saying we're going to be bringing more projects to you right now at Branson Creek, they have got a total of 26 lots that aren't sold. That's all they've got to build on.
So the project that you came forward to us maybe 2-3 years ago, and it
the
was
cliffs.
Going to be just to the west.
I brought
the
cliffs. They're
the,
going
the
to go ahead
course.
And build them. The first building's built. They're getting ready to lay curb out there next week. The lodges, the second phase of the lodges that you approved, there's five buildings in there, and they're going to go ahead and finish those out. And then there's phase two of the bluffs is the only thing that isn't built, and they're going to go ahead and put the roads and infrastructure in it. And that's it. Everything else is sold out there.
Is that that one subdivision? You go through the subdivision, then you go down to the back. They got a big gate built down there.
The estates.
That's the estates. Now,
uh-huh,
that's not been fully
built. They've sold some lots out of there. That's a bigger estate lot,
right.
And there's four or five of those left.
Okay.
Hmm.
But it's a pretty exciting deal.
Mr. Coxey, correct me if I'm wrong. This being dirt roads would be in opposition to our development code guidelines?
My code book states that minimum county defined standard. And, of course, you've got your set of road and bridge standards, which we would defer to. I believe that, right at this present time, the minimum thing that you define is a gravel road, if I'm not mistaken. You described how that's to be built and everything like that. I don't believe we have any descriptions for dirt.
Okay.
If I'm not
mistaken. These would be gravel, Eddie.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, I believe, my book says minimum defined standard.
Okay.
And we don't even talk about dirt roads because we don't have a definition of dirt road.
But, we told Frank in the meeting, they're not 100% sure they want gravel roads. they may want to try to go something that looks really good, like a, if they can, like a chip and seal with a like an aggregate in it that is attractive. Because they realize that snow removal and all the maintenance that's required, you know, with a gravel road, and that's something that we'll be discussing. I can probably give you a little more information because I got to meet with all these people this week and see, you know, how they totally want to do it, and I'll be able to tell you more, you know, at the public hearing.
Conceptually, we were talking about the roads, and I said conceptually, I can understand how and why you would want to do that. Mm-hmm. If it is in opposition of what the road standards or the building standards, not building standards, Eddie's development code book, if it's in opposition to that, then I made mention that it would be a commission. If there's a there is also some statements, some paragraphs in the road standards that talks about a variance being granted from at the commission level.
Right.
So depending on how you move forward with this, that may or may not need to go in that direction.
Right. Yeah, we fully understood that, and you made that very clear in the meeting.
Okay.
And your blue, I assume, are ponds, and you may have mentioned that.
That's correct. Yeah, there where it kind of looks yellow, that's where they're wanting to put general store, and then they're going to have some of their salespeople and general offices in the bottom floor. It'll be about 3,000 square feet up, 3,000 square feet down.
That's where folks would also check in if there were nightly rentals?
No, they would probably go to the clubhouse up there for the nightly rentals. Now, and the thing is, they may build a building just for that. I don't know. You know, but presently, I think they do that, check in up there. And then the rest of them are just cabins, and they're different size cabins. You know, we mix them up. They're going to have
big
a smaller
ones,
one.
Ones.
Yeah. So we just kind of mix them up. You know, it depends on the market, how what size they build and what price range they want to stay in. But this here contains about 82 acres is what this contains, where these cabins are. So we're a little over 3 per acre is what we are.
And I missed it, but obviously it's the condominium style of ownership.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Is the ownership style.
Yep.
Okay.
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 I think there's no doubt that before we do this one. Let's move on then to environmental learning campus.
You have seen a lot and heard a lot of stuff
tigers.
About this.
Do we still have the Tigers?
Mr. Kincaid is back.
Poor man.
He's been everywhere, it seems like.
Yeah, he has. And I think he finally got the point that he doesn't need to be around a residential subdivision. But he's not here tonight, but he'll be here for the public hearing and everything. And site where he's looking at trying to put this Tiger Sanctuary and educational learning place on is on the old Riker place that's up there at Reno Springs Road. What you're seeing there is just what was underneath the parcel number, which is about 131 acres. There's 1,200 acres of the Riker place. And they right there where his arrow is right now, they sold off a couple hundred acres there to Mr. Combs, and then the rest of the place is intact out there. And I don't know if Mr. Kincaid is going to buy the whole remaining 800 or 900 acres, or if he's going to buy 400 acres or what. He'll have to tell us that, you know, here at the public hearing. But it's very isolated. There's one neighbor to the north, a couple neighbors to the west that join land. And, actually to the west, that would be all the Riker place. And, like I said, Mr. Combs owns there to the south. But anyhow, what they're wanting to do out there, there's an existing lodge that's built out there that was built by MPI. They bought the Riker place, and then they sold it to HCW. And HCW now is selling the property. And what they're wanting to do here is take the existing lodge, put some parking in for it, and use it as the educational center to where they bring school buses in and groups in there. And they're wanting to take the amount of land that they buy, and this is very unique property out there. It's really pretty. And they're wanting to do nature trails through there where they can do educational stuff, you know, in the woods. Also have the tigers there and everything like that. And they're wanting to build 5 pens, and each pen, each pod is about 24,000 square feet, about 6,000 square feet per tiger, to where they can keep 20 tigers there. And they put one tiger in each pen, and then...
Bigger than my house.
Yeah. And there'll be a real small, it's a small building in the middle that they bring them in, like they do vet work on them or move them or whatever. But they've got 3 houses they plan on building for the caretakers. There'll be 3 caretakers out there. And that's what the little squares are there inside that U-shaped half circle. And that's basically, you know, all they're going to build is just the parking and those pens and those 3 houses and some roads. Everything else will stay as is out there on the property. And we laid the FEMA floodplain on there so you could see where it goes, because that is in a drainage area there that floods. And that's where the FEMA floodplain lays on there. There isn't any. It probably doesn't go where I got it, but until if there's a study done out there, you can determine it. But as it looks, all of the dwellings are out of the FEMA floodplain that exists out there.
Dave, I'm just curious, because this is a project that is both environmental, educational, and a tourist attraction.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you find a piece of land in Taney County when you know that these people have tried in, what, 4 different locations?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, will this still meet their needs for getting people back into what seems to be pretty isolated territory?
They're telling me yes. You know, I don't know. I mean, that's what they're telling me.
So they're happy with this tract of land?
Yes. Because from what they told me was, you know, turned them down because it's too close to existing subdivisions, houses, development. So basically they went back in Taney County on the northern side and found the most isolated tract they could find. That's what they've done.
Okay.
I mean, you know what Yunz told, the reason Yunz told them the way you turned them down, they tried to meet that with this. I mean, you know, because there was concern about safety and everything like that with the tigers. There's no place in Taney County to get that doesn't have somebody there, you know.
What happened to that project in Rockaway?
If I told you what I heard, I don't know if it's true or not. I've heard different things. I've heard that the city of Rockaway was supposed to do certain things. They didn't have money to do it. You know, I don't know. That's just hearsay.
It's down to 2 or?
As far as I know, I mean, this is what they're looking at here. What they've tried to do is to find something that met the criteria that Yunz kind of set by the way Yunz turned the others down. So.
Well, they did a good job getting away from everybody here.
Yeah. The one concern, Andy, that you might take back to them that I know I had that I still have,
mm-hmm.
and this is a much better location, no doubt about that, was at least, not that it's likely, but it's still just a concern since they are tigers.
Mm-hmm.
Is, and last time he brought all this stuff and it was a nice presentation, and I, you know, we've seen some other sanctuaries that have came through here that I wonder about, but this, I mean, these folks, you know, they look like they know what they're doing. They've done it a long time. That's not my issue. My issue is that with these containments, if for some reason, a tornado, whatever, if a fence was to be blown down, what do they have to back up, contain those on that piece of property? That does concern me.
Yeah.
As to what they might build around that. I know you can't cover everything, because mm-hmm. the tornado could blow both of them out.
Right.
But for whatever reason, a tree falls down and knocks that fence down, whatever. My concern is, if that tiger gets out of that initial containment period area, what do they have as a backup? It is a tiger.
Yeah.
So
that I don't know. That's something Mr. Kincaid will
have. I'm sure Mr. Combs would like the opportunity. I know him pretty well.
Yeah.
To take care of that issue, but.
The fact is, you can't help an act of God. If a tornado comes through, it comes through.
Right, but
you know,
if they only have one line of defense, so to speak, these aren't dogs, they're tigers. And it's a lot of timber out there. I'm just telling you now, because I'm going to ask that question.
These houses, the little house that you see there with the pens, that's for the tigers to be locked up in. And, you know, I don't know if they lock them up at the night or they leave them loose. I don't know.
Last time they were above ground and fenced in like they had now. In my mind, I picture more, and I know this is Taney County, but in my mind, I picture more like what you see at a zoo where there's a concrete where you look down on them where they couldn't get out. There was no fence, and then you have a fence above it anyway. That's the kind of thing I
envision. I don't know if he, you know, it may be something there that he has to build a secondary fence around it. I don't know. You know, as far as trees go, they can clear those back to where, you know, there's not going to be anything reach from a tree falling.
I know, and there's lots of things that could cause it, but that is a concern of mine. They're tigers.
Right.
And if they do get out, and they may not go anywhere, they may lay right there, who knows.
Yeah.
But if they do get out, and they're hard, going to be hard to find right there.
Oh, they can scatter out all over
the
area.
Well, i.e. the monkeys and everything else that we have
right there. I'll express that concern to Mr. Kincaid, and I'll let him answer that.
Well, and the other question is, when the original proposal came through, there were not very many tigers. There were only a few, and now you mentioned 20?
20 is the most that they could... they could house out here, and that's all they're asking for. I think before they asked for, 10 or 12, or maybe something like that, in that number. I know that what he tells me is when they have their educational tours, say they have 3 or 4 a week or some, whatever they have, that those tigers, he said, by their moods, you can tell when they've had enough of everybody. And, you know, just by working with them and dealing with them. In other words, a tiger may be good for 2 tours, and then he wants to go...
2-tour tiger.
Take a rest. He said their demeanor tells you... And he says it's not a violent demeanor or anything. He said you can just tell by the way the tiger acts, you know, if he wants to be there or not. You know, this is him talking. You know, that's what he tells me. And if I guess you're close to him and understand animals, maybe you can tell that. I don't know.
I understand when my wife's had enough.
Yeah.
I
don't know if it's a female tiger or male tiger. But anyhow, that's what he's telling them. You know, and I know that I have seen their stuff about their pens and stuff, the way they do them. Because the most likely thing for a tiger to get out is to leave a gate open. And the way their system's set up is you go in a gate, and when you open the other gate, the gate behind you automatically locks. So that the people error in that can't take place because it's if one opens, the other one shuts.
Have the people moved here?
No, they haven't moved here yet. That's what they're planning on doing is moving down here if this is approved.
This has been over a year that we've been dealing with tigers.
Yeah, because they're, you know, when they're in Bloomsdale, Missouri, is where they're at. And there's the check. But that's what their plans are, and I'll let him explain, you know, everything more thorough and everything.
Here we go again.
Yep. So it must not have scared him off.
Who did they notify for a public hearing?
Mike Combs.
Okay.
Mike Combs.
Yeah, it's Mike. He just bought it to hunt on. He's not moving out.
He bought it to hunt on.
Yeah, he bought it to hunt on.
We're just putting hunting attractions out there is all we're doing.
That's, yeah, come on.
Big game hunting.
Is that all the land we're talking about?
That's the full record place right there. That parcel right there and that. Those two there is what Mike bought. The rest of that is the record place.
He can
hunt some tigers. A doctor, I was trying to remember his name, that lives right there. Yeah. And
Afshar.
Yeah. I don't think they live there. I think they just own that property. I'm not sure about that because when MPI bought this, the Riker Place here, the deeds were really bad up here in this corner, and when you put it in there per deed, because it basically just called for the little end of that field, there was an old road that came in here that they couldn't get into their property by the way it actually surveyed out. So MPI sold them that little piece right there so they could get into their property. That's what they did.
Maybe this is peripheral, but you mentioned MPI. What's the status of MPI, and what's the status of the racetrack development? Do you have any idea where
they're still in business?
That's good.
And okay. Everything. Right now, I haven't heard anything about the racetrack for a while. And I know it's very hard to get any money from anybody to develop anything. I know that he did have some meetings with, I don't remember the gentleman's name, but he's supposed to be the largest racetrack developer in the United States. I know he did have a meeting with him. And I haven't talked to Steve about that in a good 90 or 120 days.
Maybe he needs to look at his land for the racetrack.
No, but
you make the finders handy.
Yeah, let's cover that again. Yeah, let's send him out there.
He's still doing some stuff at Stonebridge because we just run one through at Stone County. I got it approved, and I've got the meeting with the commissioners to get it signed off on.
Okay.
And so that's best okay. I can tell you about that.
Okay. Well, thank you, sir.
Are we going to go into old business or?
We are. I want to ask if you wouldn't mind taking a break for a second.
Okay.
We've got several permit renewals we need to do, and Mr. Sharp's been waiting.
Mr. Sharp!
I thought you were waiting for me to
No, sir, I don't see anybody here. They had all the people here last week.
Oh, I thought Eddie was doing that.
You're not representing Branson South Tower, are you?
Where?
Eddie,
are you doing the South Tower, Branson?
Bruce Conley?
I didn't think so. Because
we
know there's
a work board out there, but he hadn't requested us to do anything.
They were in last week with all their pictures and everything like that.
You don't think they assumed that because we didn't take that.
We did not say it was. No, sir. In the past, we hadn't done that. I didn't know if you were going to say that or not. So this thing knows that you've got a phone call to make.
Yes,
sir.
Real quick, you know, if you don't mind, I'll catch him up. Mr. Sharp is here with the project known as The Lakes. If you'll remember this
Before
the project.
We go any further, we're just kind of still talking over here. Should we consider that as a concept hearing last week?
I think we should.
We've done that before.
You've done that. Like I said, they came in with their representative and their pictures, and they were trying to talk you into allowing them to have that done administratively. We did ask a lot of questions, everything like that. They were on our agenda under old and new business. Your call.
Did they request to be on the agenda tonight?
We put them on the agenda tonight as a concept hearing and everything.
Did you tell them you were putting them off?
Oh, yeah. Remember, he even said when he was here, is there any reason for me to go on because you all are going to want to hear me too?
Yeah.
You said yes.
Did he know that was today?
But did he know it was today?
Oh, yeah. We'd already given him his letter.
We had a pre-application conference with him, telling him that there, you know, the series of meetings and what the dates were on those meetings.
I make a motion we tabled it because they're not here.
Well, do we need a motion? Do we just
let
it lie?
So the question is, do we want to accept last week as the concept here?
I'm hearing that that's not a question.
We don't even know if they want that right now.
I can't speak for him, but I would tell you that
they do want it.
He would want to go into public hearing next month.
Yes.
Now, why he got his wires confused, I could, you know, he did know that last week when he came in, he was asking under the old new business to make... to look at what he had to tell you and make a decision to let him proceed under, administratively.
So then, members of the commission, would you allow that gentleman to use his presentation last week as a concept if he so chooses to do so?
I don't think we should because we haven't anyone else in the past. We set a precedent, well, then we're going to have to do it for somebody else.
Well, but
later.
We have done
some kind of
informal concept.
Just as the concept hearing. I mean, we asked more questions.
We asked more questions. What was it we did earlier this evening?
We didn't do that for anybody else's email.
We let them build the project before we...
No. Talk to Chuck about that.
Another issue. Yeah. Mr. Coxey, what is your counsel and advice?
Be it right or wrong, I don't know, but in the past when people have come in and presented as even less information than what that gentleman presented to you, you have voted to accept that as the concept hearing. Now, I, again, cannot speak to why he is not here tonight. I will find that out. He did know there was a series of meetings. He did know that he was coming in last week. I don't know if he confused that with his concept hearing or what the case was. I do not know. I fully expected him to be here tonight, but he has presented you with a lot of information at this time. I think it's sufficient to let you know whether this project should move forward, whether you have issues with it that he needs to fix before he can move forward.
I didn't have a problem with it presented as it is. Now, if there's changes in it, I might have issues. But
if we allowed that to act as the concept, would it be in any violation of the public hearing notices?
Well, actually, it's not a public hearing. It's a concept.
Right.
And our code sets up originally a concept. I don't know that it suggests that it have to be done in a public hearing type format. And actually, it's a convenience to the developer so that he can know what requirements he's going to have to meet before he gets approved or has a chance of getting approved at a public hearing. And in fact, originally in our code, it set forth an extended period of time so that they could get everything they need before they had the public hearing. And we don't seem to require that anymore. We just tell them they have to do the following things before their plat is approved. Or, am I right?
That's correct. People came through for a concept hearing, and then there was up to a 120-day lapse between that hearing and the public hearing so that you could inform them of, like Bob has said, the materials to gather and to bring in. There's no postings or anything that are required on property or anything like that as far as concept hearings are required. When we actually get into public hearing, that's when everything has to be done in an orderly fashion in prescribed time.
Okay, so what is the will of the commission?
Would you like a motion?
I'll make a motion that we go ahead and accept their meeting last week as the concept hearing.
Okay, is there a second?
Without any additions?
We're just hearing the motion.
Concept.
Okay. I'll second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. I hope there's no further discussion.
I just had one question.
Okay.
Because when I was listening to him last week and he brought AT&T there,
right.
And he said, we hope to put other ones on there.
He's co-locating on the same tower.
Yeah. I understand that. But he only brought one in. So is there something that you can...
It's restricted.
So restricted to a certain amount? Because, he's selling the space on there.
Right. What we currently do is when they set up a cell tower, especially in this, the footprint of the cell tower itself is not large enough to require a permit to put it up. But there's always accessory buildings that go along with that, and there's a compound. So... We, in our pre-application conference with these gentlemen, we told them you need to make sure that your compound is large enough to handle the accessory buildings that you're going to need, because each accessory building is going to need a permit and everything, so that when you are adding these different people, that you don't have to come back before us, because if they expand that in any way, then they have to come back before you.
Okay, so do we limit it to... AT&T, Altel, or Verizon.
We're not
no.
usually limit the
or three.
Customer.
Not who he puts up there, but to the amount of
I think the maximum this tower can hold is five individuals, and the plan that he does have with us shows a compound with five accessory buildings in it, so that would be what he's asking.
Okay, so he's already presented that with the plan.
He's turned those plans
that's right there.
I don't know under the FC regs whether we can actually limit how many they can co-locate, because the FCC requires co-location before other locations. You want to encourage as few locations as possible, so you want as much co-locate as you can.
What we say in this situation, though,
which we like.
If they decide they want to add a sixth one, and he's going to have to extend these boundaries, he would have to come back to us and say, need to extend this project.
Okay, we have the motion to use last week's meeting as a concept for this project, and it's been seconded.
Call the question. All those in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay, back to the lakes. If you'll remember, the lakes was a project that was going to be developed along the east-west corridor. If you remember that a couple of years ago, it came through, ran along from behind the Kirbyville Elementary School down through that property there up to JJ Highway and everything. There it is. So, and it was a combination of different things and everything like that. But anyway, it's due for renewal. And this, I believe, is the last renewal on this one. Is that correct? Do you remember? I believe this is the last renewal before, you know, it'll have to be heard again and everything like that. But that's what it's here for a permanent renewal. And as per code book, if you're requesting.
Okay. Mr. Shark.
I just want to say that this year, you know, if you remember last year, I forgot the meeting. I made it on the first try this year. Thanks to Benita.
And on time.
Yeah. Thank you.
So we're glad some of you can make it on time.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, getting old stuff. No, we're still hung up on the same problems. Worried, however you look at it, either the end or the beginning of what's the proposed east-west corridor road. And we can't do any layout or lot plans or anything until it's decided whether or not that road will ever be built. As a sideline, we've been working with the natural gas people that are putting natural gas in the Branson Hollister area. They told me this past week that right now they tried to service that area to be about 3 years. Now, if the east-west road were to go in, it could be next year. They've got the same problem that we got, and that's long-term planning. And, you know, it'll probably at some point in time maybe come to a vote again or whatever, but we're just locked out. And I guess next year at this time, and we've already gone, this is the second three-year period we've dealt with this, it's just nothing that can be done without closing off the option of having the road go in where it's proposed. And I appreciate the fact that you've been very patient with this, but you know, I just don't know what other avenues to talk about.
Evan, you have a marker up there. Would you mind outlining your magic wand, outlining the property?
The property is about 350 acres, just short of that.
Is it all of that?
It's all of that. This is 120 acres. It's as flat as this floor. That's where originally at one time they proposed the Branson Airport years ago, I think in the early 90s. And the east-west road comes approximately through here to J Highway, and then the highway department wants to move J Highway, putting a curve in here. And they're probably going to extend the road down a little bit to about here for future plans, expanding it further to the east. And, of course, right in here is the school. And, again, we still get, even with the economy the way it is, there's still a lot of interest because of workforce housing. We've had several large companies, one out of Las Vegas, one out of California, one out of Seattle, that talked to us about developing approximately 850 homes, which I think is excessive. But we still would plan in the front, about 32 acres would remain commercial, and then the balance would be residential. And I don't anticipate, at least for, there's no reason to think that that idea would change. That's what the land, the lay of the land dictates. And but I'll admit it's frustrating.
A motion to extend the...
I'll make that motion.
Second?
I'll second it.
Okay. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Do we have some more?
We have a bunch from there. And I believe Mr. Wolf is going to be representing these. He may not know that, but we have the addition to Forest Lake Stonebridge.
Yeah. Is that the first one you want to do?
That's fine. Okay. This was the Orange Stonebridge, you remember, split Park Stone County part here. You know, they're going to, it's single family residential, but I'm taking most of that. And just time for renewal.
Just like the rest of them, you know, the economy hadn't dictated doing it and still sitting there and just want to renew it for that reason.
Nothing's changed on, of course. So.
Nothing's changed at all. Everything's still exactly the way it was.
Is there a motion for this renewal?
So moved.
Second?
Seconded.
Okay. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
The next one on that would be the addition to Smoke Tree Hills, Gary Hagee. And I'm trying to look at the decision of record here so I can see what exactly it was. It was a single family residential subdivision. And you have it up there, Ben?
That was the part down behind that had the.
This was not. There was a.
This was separate from.
This was separate from the one that had the landfill.
The toxic waste.
Okay. No, this was not that same one because that one we chose. Chose not to approve, and
this is not it. Then.
No, this.
This one here was for the larger tracks out there that he's wanting to do. It actually is. Here's the landfill right there on that parcel.
Right.
That's it there. That's the one you turned down right there. This here would be for the other area, like this here comes down all the way to here.
They were going to do a wilderness
head back around there, and then back up, and. It was this road right here was going to access it down into the property, and there is an existing road pretty well built right through there right now. And from my understanding with Gary is we're going to plat this first part of this right here this year. So it is still active. And we're doing what he's wanting to do is to get, you know, it was approved with septics out there the way it was set up. And he's actually now wanting to go ahead and run sewer and water in there. And do still acre tracts or whatever, you know, big lots. Because this is really pretty down through there. It's a nice ridge. The lots lay real well. And he's wanting to get a different product other than these small ones up here down there where he's got two products to sell to people. And that's what his plans are this year is to go ahead and plat part of that. But we need to extend the permit on that. So
and this would be the second extension?
Be the first.
First extension.
I don't think this one's ever been extended.
Only way into that would be through the
Eddie, when was it approved?
The decision record I've got in my hand says December 17th, 2007.
Is this is that that old?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I didn't think it was that old, of course.
And has this been approved lately?
Well, according to if it was December 17th of 2007.
No, but have they come? Have they come in front of us?
Well, that's what I'm looking through here, and I'm trying to see. You know, back then we would renew without bringing them before you.
Oh, okay, that's why. I haven't seen it come in front of us.
Right, but...
I thought I looked this one.
Pardon?
So I'm pretty sure I was here for this.
Okay.
So I didn't think it was that far back, but
we did one. That's one, I'm not sure.
Now we did.
That's the right folder here.
Now the date there that Eddie's talking about, I thought was the date for get that to work. There it is. I thought that was the date for this stuff up here that we could brought through right in here. That another addition right in there. Because I thought this was because Gary didn't buy that parcel there. I know it's been 2 years.
Maybe you had the wrong folder.
I don't remember that whole point.
Mr. Wolf, this is behind, what's the name of that development, Spring Meadows?
No, this is Smoke Tree. Gary developed all of this.
Okay.
He's developed this.
So the proposed development is also the developer that built the first section? A lot of times when we have, like this is really a phase construction what we're looking at, but people that live there and have lived there a long time and see all those construction trucks go through, and if the roads weren't built to a good standard, they tear those roads up. So
yeah.
I feel comfortable in knowing that it's the same person.
Yeah, it's the same person. The only thing is that this part in here I think it was this part only in here was run through as a phase originally. And so it would be actually part of the original approval of the original part. The only thing is we're doing bigger lots.
Okay, we're looking at an extension. We don't know whether it's the first, second, or third extension. But we can still go ahead and grant an additional one-year extension with a motion.
Yes, ma'am.
Motion?
I'll make it.
Second? Okay. Motion to extend the permit for Smoke Tree Hills. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Have I, you're going to represent this one, please? I'm not sure you are.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be here for Mr. Creed.
Out on Washington Lane. You remember Mr. Creed came through and got approval to do a mini storage out there. And he came back and got approval to put in like U-Haul trucks and stuff on that site also. As of this date, nothing has been constructed or started or anything like that. However, Mr. Creedon has gotten the proper easements and everything that he needed, which was an issue with this project. So when he is ready to build, he can. You also remember that he bought up storage areas all over and came through with that same request for additional trucks and everything, trucks and trailer rental storage. So what I have before you now is the walk-in storage area out there. It is time for renewal. And that's what's
okay, Dan, are you trying to find what he's talking about?
I don't have that one. I didn't see it on the list. I can bring it up on Beacon and somebody give us some information or something.
Spring Meadows.
East 76.
Yeah. Well, obviously, everything would still apply. That we
were walking off 76, now walking all the way to the back there. There was a little office building when they came through. They wanted to split that office building off, which they did. They did do that. That office building is now operating as a daycare center, if you remember.
That's just road problems.
They've got new easement access. Also, Nathan Burton bought some property out around there, and he's got he's worked out the easement going up to the very back of that property. But on the facing the property to the west side. There is a 50-foot road easement that goes all the way up to this storage area that Mr. Creedon has brought. As a matter of fact, I brought that before you once. I thought it was a little short. He came back and got the rest up at the bank that on the property time to grant that easement.
I'm going to take it out.
Old Harold F's building.
Right.
Harold don't own any of that anymore.
No, I said the old.
Yeah.
Used to.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, remember the project?
Yeah.
And now there's an easement that goes right along up here all the way to up in here.
And the daycare is back in there?
No, the daycare is right here.
Okay.
And I believe we have to put that right.
Okay, is there a motion to extend this project?
I'll make a motion to extend the project.
Second.
I'll second.
Okay.
Who's seconded?
I did.
Those in favor of the proposal to extend the project on Washington, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay, lastly, and I don't think you're in on this one, and I would counsel you not to be.
also now quit then.
Also construction.
On this one too.
I know the work on it.
You're not representing him, are you?
No.
Well, no one's here.
Again, to that, I do not see a representative.
Okay, this is on East 76.
Now, all the construction is down here off of 160, close to where the...
All that shade.
All that shade. It's right close to that...
Okay.
Where they're going to build an office and store the equipment there.
Okay.
Supposed to have a fence up to shield. And,
yes, they are.
I know that several of you have approached me. This is...
So they have nothing there but ugly grading and big machines.
They didn't do the part they said they were going to do. I'd say they're going to have a hard time getting this extended.
Yes, sir.
Oh, interesting.
Decision of record states March 16, 2009. It is now May 17, 2010, so we're a couple months past due on this one.
Okay,
so we need to...
Did we not make a decision on how we were going to handle those from now on?
Yes, sir, we did.
And what was that?
That decision is that they will bring their project back through as a new project.
Okay.
And they'd be served a stop order and everything?
You'd like me to put a stop order
on the property?
Yes,
Stop order on the project.
I agree.
Really working.
They moved all their equipment in, but they didn't do the part they were supposed to do.
They've been under making noise, working on their equipment with no guarding up to the house, no shield or anything.
I will work that up and put the stop order on tomorrow. We'll contact Carlson before we do, let them know that's coming out there. I will tell you that they did work with FEMA to get a loan on that project out there, and I believe that loan wasn't ran, if I'm not mistaken. This takes that building and stuff out of the floodplain. However, have not seen them, so I have passed on the request a couple of you have made to me about the fence, and encourage them to come in and at least talk to you under old new business concerning, you know, why we don't have a fence at this particular time. I was pretty sure that when they came to renew this that we would get those answers, but I cannot speak to why they're not here, but I can almost guarantee you that the next meeting that somebody will be here.
Teddy, I've got another one. I know that's just about up. Is that Dante Torino on that?
Toronto States.
It's right there. Not anymore. Coon Creek Road, right there.
On the left. Got to be Orlando.
I know it's right there. Time to renew. He emailed me today and said it's time for the extension. You know, be sure to appear. So. I'd like to get it if I'm here, so I don't have to come just for it.
Right.
Are you familiar with the project he's talking? I don't know how you want to proceed. I do not have a folder in front of me.
No, I'm...
You remember on Coon Creek Road, there was a couple of houses that started up out there. And
oh, yeah.
They sat there for a long time, and somebody...
The old duplexes there.
That was at one time known as Orlando Meadows. Went bankrupt, yeah. And this Mr. Pirano came in from out of town, and we took him out there, and he said, where's the place? That this is it. He said, this can't be the place. We put more money in it than this, and I said, this is the place. And so he
went somewhere.
Yeah. It used to be Orlando Meadow. And
it's right over there, substation.
They came through after that, a few months after that, with a huge plat and everything. There was a lot of questions about the power lines and putting lots into the power lines that weren't buildable.
Redid all those.
And we condensed those to where they were acceptable.
So we talked about a turn lane.
We talked about a turn lane there on Coon Creek Road. Matter of fact, when y'all began to work on Coon Creek Road, I asked you about that, if that was going to be part of that or anything. And so he's making a request tonight to renew that. This will be the first renewal, if I'm not mistaken. And he's kind of...
Are the houses torn down?
They were torn down before.
Yeah, they're tore down. The only thing that's left is...
Deal construction or something.
There's a water hydrant out there that doesn't handle water to it, and there's some manholes that don't handle sewer to them.
And there's several white PVC pipes sticking up out of
And the road and the curb going up there to the old duplexes.
Get a land disturbance permit out there. Somebody did them. I don't know if it was Toronto or not. They put up all their silt fences. They brought a bulldozer in, and they had just grubbed. They didn't really cut, but they kind of forced where the roads, where some of the roads were going to go, and then it all stopped.
Yeah, that was Lori Hoffman that did that.
So that was before.
Yeah.
So it's basically all grown up, unless you know what you're looking for.
I guess I'm not feeling easy with this. Has there been a change of ownership or change of...
No, Lori Hoffman was a developer, and she borrowed money from Dante Perino, which is a developer in California, for the project, you know, to buy it.
Under
Orlando Meadows, there was an LLC. She couldn't make do on her notes, so he become ownership of it. Well, when we ran it through his Perino Estates, he was the full ownership then and still is. So it's not a...
And that's what we've approved.
That's correct.
Okay, but nothing has happened on that.
No.
And there were all kinds of traffic issues because that was a fairly sizable project, wasn't it?
They had it approved at one time for like 500 and some condominiums, and then we went back to 200 or 300 lots. I don't remember what the number was.
Single-family residential homes. Mm-hmm. It seemed like it was around 250 or something like that.
Yeah.
And then... As we looked at the plat and everything, we had a lot of concerns about the lot sizes and having a lot that somebody could buy but they couldn't build on and everything, so they reworked the plats and combined with some of the...
I think we dropped, what was it, Sean, four or five, maybe five, six lots out of it.
Yeah, it was something like that because of the concerns that some of us had with...
Because you're just worried about the, you know.
Easements?
Yeah.
It is a current valid project, I can tell you that. It is, nothing on that road has changed. Nothing's been added or built or anything on that road. The only thing done is the intersections at both ends have been reworked.
Mm-hmm. To better accommodate traffic.
However, you know, as far as the turn lane or anything like that, nothing's been done with that because nothing's been done with the with the project itself.
Okay, so do we have a motion to extend this project for a year?
I'll make a motion.
Second?
Second.
Okay. All those in favor of extending the permit for the Piranha project, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
And this one does have existing DNR permits for water and sewer. The plans have been done and approved by DNR, and those are being extended too. So it's more of a legitimate project than some of the other.
That's going to be a major impact location because of traffic numbers.
And it's just like the other one you've seen earlier with the east-west corridor. I'm sure if the county pulled the plug on it or whatever state, that those things will happen pretty quickly because that's what's going to drive. And then also, you thought about traffic. On the back side of this, we left, if you remember in the approval, we left an area there so there could be a road hook to the east-west corridor to release some of the traffic off of Coon Creek Road.
Right.
So that was in there to help that. I about forgot about that, but
it was there.
There you go.
That's it.
Okay.
Okay.
That is the last permit renewal.
Let's move for adjournment.
Wait.
Almost.
I was told
for adjournment
that the commissioners have to sign off on the final plats now. Is that true?
I'm not seeing you yet. No, I do.
Well,
not.
And the reason I'm asking that, I was told that you told somebody that, and I said, well, Eddie hadn't told me that, so I'm asking.
The only thing that we've ever discussed is that whenever this board makes a decision on a land use change.
Okay, because in Stone County, the reason I'm asking that, in Stone County, you go through and you get the board's preliminary approval, and you get final plat approval, and the commissioners sign the plat. So that's why I was asking if that's what will happen here.
I think we'll probably get to the place where they actually have the legislative body.
Because planning and zoning over there doesn't sign the plat.
No, right now we have
the commissioners.
Okay, everything's still the same. Okay.
Okay, Ms. Klein. Okay.
Yes, sir.
You have in front of you a copy of the preamble and bylaws for the board here. Last week, as we discussed, there was an issue with the amount of compensation, the way it was written, everything like that. That has been amended to read, if memory serves me well, the board be compensated at the. Let me just read it.
There you go. That's a novel idea.
Reimbursement for expenses may be paid to the appointed members of the County Planning Commission in the amount set by the County Commission. So that's the change that was made on there, and that copy there is for your approval. If you would like to look at that and vote on that now, that would be fine and dandy. If you want everybody to have a clean copy, we can.
Basically, what you did was take out any kind of amount. So it gives.
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor of approving the bylaw changes, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
The meeting is yours.
Okay, and you don't want to say anything about the hearings that are going on? Eddie?
We have started into zoning district. Trying to define a few, and there's been a lot of discussion. We did spend 2 hours on agricultural, trying to define agricultural.
Is that true?
I think we're going to kind of settle on a couple things and move on. We do have an elected official that has stated that he believes this to be socialism, and we're going to try to get commission on that.
Well, everybody can believe what they want, I guess.
So this is not a project that will go without opposition. As we found before, we just like to involve us, not only as professionalized, but the more people that get involved, the harder it is to move along.
Okay, and the next meeting is when?
The next meeting is Wednesday at 8 o'clock.
Wednesday.
We are scheduled 8:10 or 8:10 and everything, so we did meet last Friday from 8 to 10. So we go into that. Hopefully we'll move from agricultural on into residential, which should move fairly quickly, and then on into the commercial, industrial, that kind of thing like that. And I think the purpose is to define some zoning districts so that the work that's been being done can move forward. I don't know if this is going to go back into the hands of the engineering company or not, or what's going to go after that, but right now we're just trying to establish zoning districts. We've been admonished to keep it as simple as possible by several different counties that I've talked with, and this is one of those things that have no hope of pleasing
everybody. Okay.
Thank you.
Got it. Yeah. Meeting is...
Adjourned! We see your better side on this.
Yes. Oh, you're okay.